Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome, welcome to Verkay Radio, iHeartRadio. This is the Get Your Business Right show with Michael Muse, Mr. Broadcastpreneur, a.k.a. the Fearless Coach. Because when it comes to your fear, we kick it straight through the door. Because you know Verkay is all about the power of women, but we also talk to powerful men who are making an impact in a community, in a city, and even the industries at the end. And you know what? This is Black History Month. See, too often, Black History, when February come around, people not getting into the history, not knowing who's doing what. Well, guess what? We have a special guest. This gentleman is an inventor, serial entrepreneur, construction, real estate investor. And when it comes to, when you hear about the city of Detroit, you hear a lot of negative things. But I'm here to tell you, this gentleman here is the renaissance and the new face of Detroit that's showing that if you put in the work, you put in the time, and you commit to your idea, that you can accomplish and achieve what you want to accomplish. I want to introduce to everyone to Mr. Orlando Robinson.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me, Mike. I appreciate this.
Absolutely, man. I'm glad to have you on. We are in Black History Month, and in usual and normal fashion, for some reason, every year, February come around, Black people get distracted.
Right.
If it's not the Emmys, the Oscars, you know, it's always something.
Absolutely.
But it's time for people like you to, number one, be showcased and be highlighted because you are truly carrying the DNA of our ancestors within you and you're living it out. And so I just want to thank you for sharing your greatness and your innovativeness with the world.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Man, being a serial entrepreneur, I remember when I first read about you over 15 years ago, just seeing here, I'm a young brother, and I'm looking at an article of a young brother who created this safety device because of an accident.
Yep.
And you know what? I'm a true proponent. I tell anyone, if you want to accomplish whatever you want to accomplish in life, if you're looking to be great and to do great things, and if you have a high purpose and call on your life, it's usually, nine times out of ten, it's going to be some point of a very high pain point that causes us to be more innovative, to be more creative, and to see that what we're doing is so much bigger than us.
Right.
And so when you came out with your first invention, kind of share about that first invention.
Well, that wasn't my first invention, but that was kind of the invention that put me on the map. After the death of my fiance, Deonia Walton, we were in an accident. She was an avid seatbelt wearer, and she always wore her seatbelt, but we jumped into a car. She was a social worker. I was taking her to see one of her clients, and we came up off the freeway, and I don't remember anything else. I guess, well, what we were told happened was that a guy broadsided us going about 70 or 80 miles per hour. Both of us were ejected from the car, and she perished as a result of her injuries. I suffered very severe skull fracture, hip fracture, and after I recovered, I just kind of felt there had to be a way to, first of all, honor her memory by creating something that would prevent other people from going through what me and her family went through. It was a great loss for us. It was a great loss for her clients. And so I thought of the seatbelt device. And so I went to work to try to, let me tell you. So what's funny is when I was about 7 years old, my uncle had, as a matter of fact, I was probably about 6 years old. My uncle had a 1970 Monte Carlo. Mm. And I remember that you could put the Monte Carlo in gear without putting your foot on a brake. And how do I know this was because we were at a family gathering. My uncle's car was parked in my aunt's driveway. Me and my cousin was inside of his car playing around. We threw that car in reverse and we backed into my aunt's car and we got the beating of our life. And so that kind of stuck with me. And what's strange is that I believe that Everything related to that day that Dion died was started before, started that day when I jumped inside of that car, because it was that traumatic situation for me that made me think about, now you have to put your foot on the brake in order to put the car in gear. What changed? You know, I remember you didn't have to before, now you have to. So what changed? So found out that it was something called a seatbelt interlock. I mean, not a seatbelt interlock, but a gear shift interlock or a gear shift actuator, depending on which one that you had. There's a difference between the interlock and the actuator. So what I did was said that, hey, if they put this on a car, there had to be a way that you can interrupt that. And what I did was designed a circuit, a loop circuit, that connected the seatbelt interlock to the the gear shift interlock or gear shift actuator. I connected them to the seat belts, and I also put seat sensors in all of the seats so that no matter what seat you were sitting in, if that seat was not closed, you would not be able to put that car into gear. And you know, from that, the entrepreneur piece was born, because we got a contract from Lear, Delphi, General Motors, Chrysler, Ford to design other parts for them. So we designed parts for the Corvette, we designed parts for the Ford Explorer, the Eldorado, you know, just a lot of different parts.
Wow. So here it is, you out of the tragedy, you, and even like, even at the early age, like you say, that behind whooping stuck with you.
Absolutely.
Being that young, you remember.
Yeah, I remember.
being that age.
Yep.
And you remember it, and it caused you to reflect years later to say, mm-hmm. Hold on, I remember getting in the car and getting my behind toe up because I threw it in reverse and it wouldn't reverse, and now I can't do that. And so that got your brain flowing.
Right.
Now, what kind of training background did you have? Because obviously the average person, we've been, statistically, it's already been told that everyone comes up with at least two ideas every year.
Right.
And so for you to come up with the idea, but able to execute, and what kind of expertise and background did you have?
I've been tinkering around with stuff since I was a kid. I didn't do the stuff that most kids did. I'm not going to call myself a nerd, but when other kids was playing basketball, playing football, I was taking somebody's TV or somebody's stereo apart and just figuring out how to put it back together myself. So somehow I just kind of had a good understanding of electronics. I kind of knew how to design a circuit or how to make a circuit operate, not to the extent of a circuit board, but when you're talking about FETs and diodes and that type of stuff and connecting them together in order to make a circuit open and close, I just knew how to do it. So once I did that, it wasn't retail grade or vehicle or commercial grade. I had to hire actual engineers to get involved to help me make the actual production ready product. And that's what we did. So once I got some engineers involved, they took this bunch of wires and diodes and FETs and turkey basers, because my first seat sensor was actually a turkey baser. So they took all of this gumbo that I had, and they actually made a real product out of it. And then we took that around and we shopped that around for a little while. And from that came the opportunities from General Motors, Chrysler, and Ford. I think I was 25 or 26 years old. I was a tier one supplier to Lear and Delphi, making like $5 million a year. So we were doing pretty good.
And so being in that position, it's not a real reality. Being in that position, not a lot of, especially black males, who can say that you've done what you've done. You know what I'm saying?
It's we out here, man.
That's the whole reason for our platform here, man, because it's, the world needs to know that Orlando Roberts.
They
need to know that I don't have to, sports don't have to be my only option.
Absolutely.
Entertainment will be my only option.
Right.
That I can use my brain and do other things and collaborate with other people to make my dream come true and make this world a better place.
Right. I tell my boys right now that, you know, and I hate to say this and sound cliche, but those guys that were playing basketball, the cool guys, the guys that had all the girls and everything back then, they work for me now. So, you know, like the neighborhood I grew up in, I'm probably the largest employer in that neighborhood. I think at peak, I was probably employing about 100 to 150 people out of the neighborhood that I grew up in. And most of those people were the cool people when I was growing up. I wasn't cool. I wasn't uncool. I was just kind of transparent. You ain't notice me. You know what I mean? And that's the way it should be. Just do your thing quietly, and where you go is where you go. And so, good thing I found myself in a good position, in a position that I can reach back and help a lot of people. And so I've been doing that.
And so, what sparked the entrepreneur side? Because I know you're a serial entrepreneur from real estate and construction. Where did that love come from?
So my love for being an entrepreneur, you know, I'm just gonna be honest with you. It's either in you or it's not. And I think that what happens is that you find out things, you know, outside of yourself that helps nurture what's already in you. I had an uncle, my uncle Sir Charles Graham, who I grew up watching him run businesses. He ran his clothing store and you know, did a bunch of other stuff. So I was fortunate to have him, you know, as a mentor to me growing up, and even as a mentor of me as a young man starting off in his business. You know, I was able to have him, you know, just really show me how to deal with people. Like, he is the master of dealing with people. He can play a room, and it doesn't make a difference who's in a room. It could be royalties in a room, and he's comfortable, you know. And so I just kind of learned that. And so a lot of the stuff that I do, a lot of the way I carry myself was just kind of sitting back and watching his success, you know. But in terms of being an entrepreneur, I just always knew I wasn't going to punch nobody else's clock.
That's right.
You know, I never. And so when I was young, 17, I went to the Marine Corps. I got out of the Marine Corps. I went and worked for the Federal Bureau of Prisons for 1 year. So you're talking about 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. 21 years old, out of the Marine Corps, dishonorably discharged. I went and worked for the Federal Bureau of Prisons. About 1 month shy of being there for 1 year, I went in and resigned and said, hey, you know, this ain't for me. And so from 22 years old up until now, I've been self-employed, running some type of business.
That is magnificent. That's truly taking your idea and your dream and not, as they would say, hey, you made sure you get off the plantation and you paved your own way.
Absolutely.
Because definitely, of course, we live in a society now where when we were growing up, we were always taught, hey, get education and go to school and you can be what you want to be. But we realize now, especially now the way society has changed, technology has changed, we got Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos say, hey, you come work for us. You don't even need no degree now.
Yeah.
And so that has truly changed the direction and trajectory of how we think and even how we perceive education. So for you, you're definitely self-taught in a lot of ways. So what are some of the routines that you do on a regular basis to stay mentally ahead of the pack and also to be the best you can be?
Well, so I'm a big, big advocate of education. As a matter of fact, at 15, I was in college. 17, my second year of college is when I enlisted in the Marine Corps. And my entire time in the Marine Corps, I went to college. But I'm not the type of person to tell somebody, hey, you know, you must go to school, you must get a degree, you know, because there are so many different platforms right now that you can use to educate yourself where you don't need to necessarily go and get the formal education that United States require that you have, because, you know, a lot of other countries don't even require it. If you ever go to India and you see the panhandlers out on India, most of those are PhD degreed engineers, yeah. Master degreed engineers, coming out of high school as engineers. You know, you got coding and a lot of different other stuff. But one of the things that I do to kind of stay ahead is, you know, I do a lot of reading. And if I'm watching TV, I'm focused on things that are in my craft. So I'm not wasting my time watching all these drama shows. I'm watching shows that teach me about business. I'm watching shows that teach me about construction because I'm in construction.
And so what are some of those shows? So
really HGTV.
Okay.
You know, most of the stuff that comes on HGTV. I'm a big Shark Tank fan.
Okay.
You know, I love to watch Shark Tank. I love to watch Shark Tank because Shark Tank teaches you how to negotiate. If you want to understand in terms that are relevant in business so that you can go and sit at a table with some folks and sound intelligent, Shark Tank is a great place for you to go and just learn basic entrepreneurship lingo and just some of the basic stuff that you need to just be a successful entrepreneur. But I love to watch stuff that helps me learn about business. Right now, I'm kind of into this building a generational wealth. And there's a show that comes on HBO called Succession. And, you know, I used to think about generational wealth from a different perspective, you know what I'm saying? And now I think about it from an estate, you know, just watching how billionaires take care of their business, you know, and it's shows like that. So for me, that's the type of show I'm interested in. They got the drama, but at the same time, I'm still learning something.
Exactly.
You know? So that's the type of stuff I'm entertained by. I don't like to watch anything else, period.
So you don't watch none of that stuff with the fighting and...
None of that stuff with the fight.
Throwing drinks in the face.
Throwing drinks in the face. I don't want to be subjected to that drama at all. I don't even want to spend time with people who like that kind of
exactly.
stuff. That's right.
Because you're not on the same path.
We ain't on the same path.
Mindset.
That's right. The Bible say don't cast your pearls before swine. So that's exactly what that
you
is
preach
for me.
It now. You
there
preach you it go. Now. Well, man, it's time for us to take a quick break. And we're back on the Get Your Business Right show on Verkay Radio. I'm excited right now. I got the phenomenal serial entrepreneur, inventor, Orlando Robinson with me. He, because if you want to know about black history, this is it right here. This brother right here has a new invention, and he is tearing the place up. Let's talk about the mold desk. When I saw the mold desk, I knew it was a winner. I knew it was something that was the marketplace needed. And once I saw how easy it was to carry around, how it could apply in so many different areas where to really make a person's job and even industry, I said, wow, he's hit the gold mine. How did you come up with the mold desk? And tell us about this. I'm excited about it.
First of all, I guess I should explain to you guys what mold desk is. Mold desk is a laptop case that you carry around on your shoulder, just like a messenger bag that transforms into a mobile desk. So it can extend from 2 inches to 28 inches. So you can use it as a standing desk on a floor, or you can set it on top of a standing desk or table and use it as a desk riser. And I came up with the product because my laptop fell off my lap and it broke. And I was just a little bit irritated by it. So I said, I really would like to have a desk I can carry around because I'm in construction to my
yes.
job sites. And just can open up my laptop case and have my laptop right there, be able to use it. And when I get ready, when I'm done, just fold it up and go about my business. So I did a lot of research and I couldn't find anything remotely close, nothing. It just didn't exist. I mean, around the world, I'm pretty good at doing research. So I know where to look. I looked everywhere and I couldn't find it. So my laptop broke on Friday, did my research that night, couldn't find it, fell asleep, woke up, had an idea, went to Home Depot Saturday, bought my my material to make my prototype. And made my prototype and it worked. So on Monday I was showing it to somebody and it happened to be a traveling nurse there. And the traveling nurse saw it and said, hey, where'd you get that at? I said, I made this. She said, do you plan on selling them? And I was like, why, you think people will buy it? She was like, absolutely. Can I take a picture of it? I said, sure. She took a picture of it. She said she sent it to her boss. So that was on Monday. And on Wednesday I got a call from her boss. And then on Thursday, I got a letter of intent from her boss to buy 6,000 of them at $269 each.
Let's get this straight here. See, this, when people want to say there's an overnight sensation or wonder how things come in place, first of all, it took the loss of losing the laptop back
right.
to pain again. Not a lot of pain, but...
It's a lot of pain, man.
no death pain yet, but it's, right. it's a lot of pain there.
Right.
And so you begin to think, and you came up with the idea. You said, in your mind, you think, let me put something together so that I won't have my laptop break again.
Right.
Initially, you was thinking of yourself.
I was thinking of myself.
And let me go ahead and do this. And so when that lady saw you, And she said, "Will you make it?" He said, "Yeah, I could do that. Cause, you know, like you're already a serial inventor also. You've invented things in the past." So when she said, "Are you willing to sell it?" You're like, "Shoot, I just did the prototype. Yeah, not a problem." Mm-hmm. So here it is, from Friday, from the time the laptop broke, Monday you get the prototype together. Mm-hmm. You see the traveling nurse, and here's Wednesday, you get in the car with an order for $6,000. Mm-hmm. That's what you call a person's life has changed overnight. Mm-hmm. Cha-ching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. It's kind of surreal, like the process. It's a beautiful ride. I just wish other people can kind of experience that. And that's what I try to do, is try to help people, because this product has only been in existence for about 9 months. And we're negotiating a $100 million contract with the federal government. We got about 14 different countries that want to carry the product. The government of Senegal wants to buy them. Korea, England, Germany, Australia, I mean, you name it, I get emails daily for people who wants to distribute the product into, you know, their country or on their platform. So it's kind of exciting. Microsoft reached out to us and they want to brand our product with Microsoft name on it. And as long as you paying us, we cool with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so we also have a bunch of gamers. As a matter of fact, we just had a gaming platform with 2.5 million subscribers reach out to us and said it was a perfect product for their platform. So we're going to be sending out some a review for them to review on their platform. I don't know if you ever heard of a company called Touch of Modern. You familiar with them?
No.
It's dope. It's called Touch of Modern. And these guys have 20 million subscribers. They have, their average subscriber has about $200,000 in annual income. So they have a really high-end base. And what they do is they put products on their platform and they sell it to their buyers. We just got back from San Francisco. So they're going to be launching our product on their platform probably the next week or so. We have Fry Electronics, which, are you familiar with Micro Center?
Yes.
So Fry Electronics is the Micro Center of the West Coast. So Fry Electronics, we just left there. They want to put in all of their stores. Microsoft want to put in some of their test stores. There's another retailer called Beta. Beta is a really interesting platform. So they'll be carrying it inside of their store. And like I said, we're in some serious negotiations with the federal government that could potentially top $1 billion.
Wow. You said the word that scared a lot of people. You said $1 billion.
Yeah, $1 billion.
Because that's the one word when it comes to money and finances, a lot of people can't imagine it. And in essence, all it is adding some more zeros behind a number that's already there.
So what happened was there's the DOD kind of purchasing arm is called DLA, Defense Logistics Agency, and they're the people that pretty much buy everything for the federal government. I mean, missiles and tanks, airplanes, DLA buys it. So when we reached out to DLA, the intake person for the small businesses, the intake person for the small businesses said that what she do is she does a kind of a review of products to see what applications the product might fit. So she said typically what happens is she find products with application, it's probably about a 2-page list. And she said ours is about 387 pages. So she said literally every agency in the federal government can and will use our product. So she said, you're about to be a billionaire, young man. I was like, wow, isn't that interesting?
And the most important part about you that I've learned to get to know is that you believe in helping people.
Oh, yeah.
It's one thing to achieve success and acquire finance, but it's another thing to put people in a position for them to not only be better and do better,
right?
But give an opportunity to them also.
Yeah, I'll never be a billionaire. It ain't desire for me. So I told my wife, I said, I'm a billion care because, you know, I want to give it all away. And that's what my plan is. Take what we need and give it all away. So, you know, I don't think God gave this to me for me to compete with Jay-Z and Bill Gates and all the rest of them guys. God gave me my brain so that I can declare war on poverty, you know, so I can help other people. And so that's what my life has been about, is helping other people. we're building our plant to make this in the neighborhood that I grew up in. There's a building that's 75,000 square feet. When I was a kid, like, I used to tell my family, I'm going to make something in that building. So I already knew.
And now it's, where's this building at?
It's on Greenfield and right at Greenfield and Tyler. It's the old popcorn factory.
Okay,
75,000 square feet, sits on 7 acres.
Exactly.
So we're getting ready to buy that building, and we're getting ready to make this product and some of our other products
right there
in the hood that all I grew up same. In, employing the people that,
that's the neighborhood right there, isn't it?
Yep.
Greenfield, wherever myself, so I know.
So, you know, it's going down. It's when it happened real big. But, you know, my objective is not necessarily to, you know, go out and buy myself a Bugatti, even though that would be nice. You know, helping people is euphoric. You know, it's nothing like it. It's a high.
Yes. It sounds like basically you definitely know what your purpose is. You know what your mission is. And you're really on the stage in your life now where it's about legacy.
Right.
And so what type of legacy do you want to leave?
You know, I've been to so many funerals in my life, and I want, when they read my eulogy, I want at least 200 to 300 people inside of my funeral that are millionaires directly because of my supporting whatever their vision is, or supporting whatever their agenda is, or even if they didn't have a vision or an agenda, to get on board to my agenda and just, you know, share in my success, you know. So I think my legacy will be that I, you know, selflessly helped other people achieve their goals in life.
Okay. And so for the person who's listening right now saying, man, this idea sounds great. How can I invest? Is this an investable, but it can be an investor, or what's the business strategy?
So right now, I've been completely funding this, you know, and funding on my own. I haven't got to the point where I need investors yet. I don't know if I'm gonna get to the point where I need investors yet. What I need right now is people to support it. We're getting ready to do a Kickstarter campaign, and the Kickstarter campaign should launch the first week in March. And if they go to mymodesk.com, they can sign up to buy the desk. And one of the things that I didn't tell you is that part of the proceeds from my desk and every desk that I make moving forward is going to go to fund a program that we're going to partner with Detroit Public Schools, we call Up to Code. So we're going to teach Detroit Public School kids how to code. My kids grew up in the suburbs, so my middle son's been coding since he was in the third grade. So this, you know, he's 14 years old right now. He can design a application app on the phone, he can design a website, you know, and the kids in Detroit are not being allowed to participate in that. So, you know, when I was younger, the digital divide was the internet and laptops and access to computers, and now the digital divide is this coding, you know. And if we don't get on this thing right now and teach our kids to code, they're gonna be unemployed in the future. So that's our mission.
One thing I want to definitely hit on that you mentioned, and one thing I noticed just through the characterization of what you do and how you've done things, that you don't procrastinate. And so what are some of the things you do to not be in a position where you procrastinate?
Some of the things that I do to not be in a position to procrastinate is recognize that poverty is close. And if I want to keep getting up and driving good and dressing good and eating good and helping other people, you know, I got to be about my business. So I guess it's just about what's important to you, you know. And I know what my priority is. I know what my mission is. And I can't do it if I'm wasting a whole lot of time, you know, because, you know, if you don't get on it, somebody else is, you know. Yeah. And it's nothing like coming to the dance late and finding somebody else dancing with your girl.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, you spoke volumes with that one right there. And that's so important. And so we're getting close to the end of this interview here. What are two or three things that you want to leave with the audience about who you are and what direction you want to go with Modesta even into the future?
I guess what my mission is I am focused on revitalizing Black Wall Street, and recreating the Harlem Renaissance and recreating Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so everything that I do, all the success, if Modest is successful as we think it is, I'm going to be reinvesting in the neighborhood that I grew in until it hurts, you know, and building a rework type of atmosphere where entrepreneurs who want to come and have a good place to work, where they'll get some value, you know, not pay a whole lot of rent. You know, I want to create that space for them. And I want to create that space for them in a neighborhood that I grew up in, you know. So that's who I am, you know, a serial entrepreneur, a serial inventor, and a serial philanthropist. So I love helping people. I love solving problems.
Well, you definitely fit the logo of what we do at this show here, because we're definitely about helping women make the right power moves, meet the right people, and being in the right environment. And you definitely have been a source of information and just having that helping hand to be one of the people that people in Detroit need to know about, and even nationally, they need to know that, hey, there are things going on in Detroit that has nothing negative, that's all positive, mm-hmm. that you're hiring people. I'm sure some of the people you're hiring, some of them have come from an even rougher past, and you were giving them a chance where you might not have gotten a chance.
Absolutely.
And so that's a blessing. And so, man, I just want to thank you so much for coming on to Get Your Business Right show, because we want to see our community be better, our people be better, and leaving a lasting legacy, like you say, so that when it's all said and done, the work we have done is living on in the works of other people behind mm-hmm. us. And that's the true testament right there. Mm-hmm. We can say whatever we want to say at a funeral, but it's what you've left in the DNA of people behind you who are living out those philosophies, those ideas, that work ethic, and just that love and care for people. And when they are exhibiting that and showing it to the world, guess what? Orlando Robinson never dies, because mm-hmm. they're going to teach their kids the exact same thing. And so being Black History Month, I want to honor you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Because you are what the world needs, our community needs you, and you are standing in the gap. And I just pray and hope more people stand in this gap with you, because
absolutely.
it's truly not a one-man fight. This takes a real village mm-hmm, mm-hmm. coming together to accomplish, like you say, to end poverty altogether. Mm-hmm. And that's what it takes. So,
well, Mike, it takes people like you to have these platforms to be able to tell these stories. I'm not the only one out here.
That's right.
So I appreciate you casting that line out here and reeling us in so that people can know that we do have people over here who are actually overcoming.
That's right. Well, I just want to thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, you got it. You got it from the one and only Orlando Robinson, the serial inventor of Modest. He is changing the world. He's changing lives. You better get your Modest. What's the website for it?
MyModest.com. MyModest.com.
That's right. When you come to that desk, don't get your desk. I guarantee you it's going to help change your life and make your life easier. Isn't that what it's all about? Making life easier.
That's right.
So thank you for listening to the Get Your Business Right show, because guess what? I love you. God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. See you next time.
You're going to have to show me about this right here.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.